the end of the world as we know it. I feel fine.
Well, right now, I am locked out of my house. I forgot my keys at my client's house. So thankfully, I can still connect, you know, on the wireless on my front porch.
It's a rainy afternoon in Vancouver, and having just returned from the ultimate eco-friendly holiday, Frank is pretty used to being outdoors as he chats to me while waiting for a flatmate to return home and let him in.
Me and my partner cycled about over 1,200 kilometers. There's a town, we started a town called Smithers, which is almost in the geographical center of British Columbia in Canada. And we did one day on this highway called the Highway, what's called the Highway of Tears, which is a beautiful highway, but it's got a very sad history. A lot of Aboriginal women have been disappeared. And the police are not really investigating. They have recently started investigating because a white woman was disappeared, and that gave them the impetus to actually start looking to see what happened. But before that, I think over a dozen Native women were found dead or disappeared, and it, which is a tragedy. But at the same time, it's a gorgeous a highway. And that connected us with a highway called the Cassiar Highway, which used to be the main route for people to go to Alaska through BC, through British Columbia. But then now that there's a faster highway, hardly anybody takes this two-lane road, and it's beautiful. There's not a whole lot of traffic. We saw some wildlife. We saw a bunch of grizzly bears. I mean, not grizzly bears, brown bears, eagles, herons, wild goats. And just, you know, also the sad part of it, too, is that you see that even though we're so far north and areas that are supposed to be kind of like the edge of civilization, the civilized world has actually gotten there. And there's a lot of clear cuts. There's a lot of mining already happening up in those areas. The destruction is it's heading north, and it's not going to stop.
Your show, It's the End of the World as We Know It, and I Feel Fine, seems to be gaining more and more popularity.
You know, that is a very hard thing to say. I think that once Bush left and Obama took office, I think that I had a lot of viewers who were essentially Democrats, and I think I lost a huge chunk of viewers just because I think some of those folks really liked it when I called Bush names and basically, you know, talked about his blunders and all the bad shit that he did. But once I started doing the same with Obama, just because, you know, because Obama's doing a lot of the same things, I think a lot of people were not very appreciative that I was taking Obama to task, and so it seems that there's been a little drop off in viewership. But then the interesting thing is that this the first time since I started the show that I've gotten more support monetarily to continue doing the shows through small donations by a bunch of different people. So I don't know if there's a correlation, or I don't know if people are watching in groups, but certainly there has been an increase in people who want to rebroadcast the show, be it in radio or TV. So I've started creating these new versions of the show, and also Free Speech TV, which is the satellite network in the United States that has been running my show, will start running a 30-minute version of the show. That is basically two of my shows kind of stuck together and cut down to 30 minutes. Okay, give me 1 second because one of my roommates showed up.
Okay,
I locked myself out. Yeah, I'm so happy you're here. Okay, just give me 5 seconds, Linda, and I'm going to plug in my computer because I'm running out of juice. And I am back.
In a recent episode, Frank, you featured John Pilger talking about Obama, and he described him as a marketing dream.
But like Calvin Klein or Benetton, He's a brand that promises something special, something exciting, almost risque, as if he might be radical, as if he might enact change. He makes people feel good. He's a postmodern man with no political baggage, and all that's fake.
A lot of people put so much hope, and I hate to keep using this word, but it's the truth. I mean, that's the word that the Obama administration chose, or at least the campaign chose to sell themselves. And so it's almost like people put so much, they invested so much into this one man, and invested a lot of emotional energy. I think people get angry when you tell them that, you know, listen, I told you so, one, and, you know, two, Obama is not going to save the world. It really freaks people out. And so I think that the show has never been a tactful show, and I understand that maybe some, it's not my job to be tactful, but I think maybe other folks out there who have friends who bought into the Obama bullshit can be a little bit tactful in how they hold people's hands out of that hopium-induced dream and show them that, you know, this political system has to go, that this is not the way we're going to solve our problems and hopefully bring people to our side of the world and get people working hard, because as you and I know, it's urgent. Like, we don't have unlimited time to do what we need to do.